It's interesting to think of Mark in Rome with Peter, as we just heard in the letter. Peter's writing from Rome, and the last line is, or one of the last lines, the chosen ones at Babylon, that's Rome. Why Babylon? Well, because it's the place at that time, the center, where military might ensured economic suzerainty. The first kingdom to do that was Babylon. And that's the whole point of that polemic against Babel in Genesis. An organized attempt, a world government, with me at the top. And God scattered them. So every time there is a group, a place, a city, where there is this well-organized attempt to do without God and to have suzerainty over the whole world and economic power, it's Babel. So at this time, Rome was Babel. Now there's two or three competitors for that honor right now. But and so that's why he says, you see, the chosen one is the church. The chosen one is the little group of believers there who are trying to believe in the Lord and preach the gospel and talk to their relatives and get along with each other. Half the group was Jewish, half the group was Gentile. This is why Paul wrote the letter to the Romans. But Mark, you see, he's called here, Peter says, my son. He's the one who wrote the gospel, we know that. But it's really the reminiscences of Peter. And I was thinking about that today. Mark's language is good, but it's almost everything is in the present tense. He's a storyteller. So this fellow comes up to Jesus and he says, and Jesus says to him, and then it's all present tense. Which must have been the way that Peter preached. So it's interesting to just reflect on that. And that's why tradition has always said, way back, I forgot, it's Papias, I think. Somebody way back, yeah, it is, it's Papias. He was the secretary, the amanuensis of Peter. And so he wrote letters. And he also put together the gospel. And if we're correct, you know, with the historical sciences, I hope we can call them, today, Mark was the earliest gospel. In other words, he was the one who sort of invented the literary genre gospel. And it's a whole series of stories about Jesus quoting his words. Now, Mark has the least amount of words in his gospel. Got a lot of action. It's the shortest one. But the interesting thing is that when he tells a narrative, it's the longest one. For instance, the martyrdom of John the Baptist is about 30% or 40% longer in Mark than it is in Matthew. His instinct is to present the whole thing where God acts, to help you grasp it, you see. And so, now, the irony is, of course, that as far as we can tell, this ending, 16, 15 to 20, is not from Mark. We just had this text the other day, remember? You don't remember. I'm going to put a list up on there, what we read. No. You know, with the beginning of the accounts of the resurrection, remember, one of them was Mark. And I pointed out, Mark's gospel, as we have it, ends with the words, for they were afraid. Bang. You know, they left the tomb after the angel told them, and they were so delighted and everything, but they were also afraid. And so they didn't say anything to anybody, Theophobuntuagar, the last two words of his gospel. They were afraid, therefore, you see. Well, somebody didn't want the gospel to end that way, put this, or probably better, somehow we lost the last page. And I think I went through that. We don't. If you want to try to stay humble, get to be an exegete. There's so much you don't know. I mean, why does it end like that? Some guys have written theses to prove that texts can end like that, but it, text might end like that, but not a story, especially the story of Jesus and his resurrection. So they have the theory that, well, maybe the guy carrying the manuscript to the printer's place, the last page fell off somehow, and he never. Of course, the printer place in those days was somebody standing in a room full of 40 or 50 men, and he would dictate and they'd all write. We didn't have presses in those days, you know. Anyway, so somebody ended the gospel. Inspired piece of work. I mean, it's not, it's from the Holy Spirit. It's just not from Mark, as far as we can tell. We get up there and Mark will say, what do you mean I didn't write that? Well, you shouldn't have ended it with gar, therefore, I mean, you should have done something. Anyway, the urgency of the text is the part that's most important for us. Huh? Go into the whole world and proclaim this good news to every creature. Cats and dogs? No, it means, of course, human creature, but preach it to everybody. The good news. And then that sets up a crisis. Whoever believes and is baptized, that's part of belief, you see, will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. They'll get a chance to hear the good news and the Spirit will be there moving their hearts. And they can harden their hearts or they can yield to the truth, you see. And to accompany this preaching of the gospel, there will be signs to guarantee the authenticity of this preacher. St. Thomas says a preacher is accredited to the people to whom he preaches either by the holiness of his life or by signs and wonders. A lot of my friends say, well, the second is easier than the first, really. But you see, they will drive out demons. They'll speak in tongues. They'll pick up serpents with their hands. They'll drink anything done to what harm them. And then if they lay their hands on the sick, they will recover. Because that's the good news acted out in front of you. The mercy, the love, the tenderness, the forgiveness of God. Healing the sick. Okay. And then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven. This, whoever this author is, he's summing up the tradition from the other three Gospels. And he took his seat at the right hand of God. That's where our Lord Jesus is right now. And they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. There are always signs when the gospel is preached. Always. And so that's why we see them again. The new evangelization, which is what we're working on now, right? Part of the new evangelization is healing, deliverance. You know, it has to be. And as the world sinks more and more into unbelief, the more it has to be accredited. And the love of God, well, if you're preaching, this has happened to me. You're preaching, and the Lord heals somebody of deafness, even while you're talking away. What's that? That's an audiovisual aid. Besides healing somebody, which is great, it shows God saying, I can open the eyes, the ears of your heart. You can hear this, and it can change you. And so that's the ending of Mark, and we have it today because it's the feast of St. Mark. So let's stand and